for the purposes, again, of this course and clarifying terms which we use in everyday conversation and which are bandied about as if we knew what we were talking about, let's go once over this difference between the republic and the democracy in terms of their actual operation and checks and balances.
As we just pointed out, a republic is based upon foundational law, absolutely limiting the government to certain powers, certain authorities. In a pure democracy, 50% plus one can change the law every day. And based upon the whims or emotions of the people, all you need is a one-man majority, and that one-man majority rules everyone, and everyone is absolutely bound by whatever the whim of the simple majority is.
So even though today the common parlance is always to make the world, quote, safe for democracy, this in fact is quite different than the intention of the founding fathers who were trying to guard against that one-man majority.
Absolutely, because they understood how powerful the press was. That's why one of the first protections they put in the Bill of Rights was freedom of the press. They understood that a controlled press could whip the people into a frenzy in a democratic situation, pure democracy. Those who controlled the press could whip the people into passing any law from day to day that they wanted, much as we saw the frenzy after 9/11 to pass all these security measures, never mind the Constitution, we'll give up our rights. Excuse me. Those rights are protected by the Constitution, and no legislation can abridge them.
The next area that we looked at had to do with the relationship between the sovereign people and the law. Now, in fact, today, you have a profession of lawyers, and then you have people who don't know what's going on, who have to run to the lawyer to be taken care of and to become essentially the wards of these attorneys. Now, my ears perked up every time you said, know the law and be well disposed to use it. And you said that as a sovereign individual, with the sovereign people being the ultimate power in the republic, it is presumed that the people know their own laws. And therefore, if a person speaks, that person is coming from the presumed knowledge of the law. And if they say the wrong thing, well, it's their fault for being uninformed and for stepping into a trap of their own devise, as it were, because they didn't know the law.
The courts have clarified that even further by saying ignorance is no excuse.
Right. So unless a person goes to law school or educates themselves, it seems at first as if there is this great obstacle towards being able to maintain your freedom or manage your country or become fully functioning member of the republic, because the laws as written tend to look completely overwhelming and mysterious unless you've learned the specialized language.
Very much so. However, you have to step back just a little bit and take a little more in-depth look at what's really going on. The various corporations provide education services. However, why would a corporation teach what is not necessary for those in the corporation? For example, Sears Roebuck and Company is not going to teach you how to run a hamburger stand. McDonald's is not going to teach you how to be a manager in a brokerage house. A municipal corporation who manages those who receive its benefits is going to educate them on how to operate within its system. The founding fathers understood that the primary responsibility for education was for it to be passed on from father to son, and that the father would teach the son everything the son needed to know to run the family business and operate it in the world. The government does not have that job. However, for those who choose not to take the responsibility that goes with sovereignty and teach their own young, the corporation says, not a problem, we'll be happy to provide that service for you. However, we're going to provide that service based upon those who do not take the responsibility of being sovereign and wish to be subjects.